Joseph Pasek of barnbrewing.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up, and this is a special edition of the On the Mat Wrestling Show. It's instant reaction to the WWE Survivor Series pay-per-view. Once again, Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed, AWOL. Last night, AWOL, I'm going to put him in a War Games game. So I brought in the Hall of Famer, even better, the Hall of Famer, Steve Carney of WDAE Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida. You can hear Steve recap NXT last night. Now we're going to recap the Survivor Series. Let's go to three pre-show matches. The first match, Elias, you want to walk with him, against Matt Hardy, 9 minutes, 45 seconds. Elias getting the victory. You want to talk about this match, Steve?
Well, the only thing that I'm going to mention about this match was the reaction on social media by Matt Hardy after the loss, where it seems like he's starting to maybe break a little bit, both him and his wife, Rebby, going through on social media. It certainly seems like you're starting to see, and especially with Jeff Hardy being laid up, you're starting to see maybe a little bit of what we would call premonitions and maybe some talk of the seven deities with Matt Hardy, and I think that maybe things are starting to break.
Well, let me tell you, Elias deleted him tonight, and does Elias look like sort of across a little bit as Macho Man was sort of retiring? I know I asked you this, I think, last time or two shows ago, but I think he looks like when Macho Man was starting to retire. But let's get to the next match. Elias won that match, by the way. The next match.
By the way, he doesn't look like Macho Man. He looks like Damian Sandow before
yes.
he got his college degree. You're welcome.
Okay. Yes. Yes, thank you for that. Thank you. Now, the next match, Enzo Amore retaining his Cruiserweight title against Kalisto. I think the best part of this match, and first of all, I don't want to see Enzo Amore anymore because I hate the gimmick now, but Kalisto couldn't even get into the ring there. What's up with that?
Yeah. Well, that's when you don't have the trampoline exactly where it should be, and you end up getting caught up on the top rope in your ring entrance. This is what doomed the first Sin Cara, was that he wasn't able to do the trampoline jump into the ring. And for Kalisto, it only takes that one time messing it up to really get into your head. So this now he's going to have to go and do it like 60 times before 205 Live on Tuesday in order to probably get it out of his head. Certainly the most memorable part of that of the match was the entrance, or the botched entrance, as it was with Kalisto, with Enzo Amore retaining the title.
All right. And the last match, they announced these two extra matches to the pre-show. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn against Breezango. Is there any 7 minutes? We shouldn't even talk about this match. Who cares? All right. Let's get to
this. Well, the only problem with this is that it's Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and you can definitely tell that they're in the doghouse with the powers that be for what happened on the European tour being sent home, because those are two guys that should have been their matches should always be on the main card, and they get stuck on the pre-show because they made somebody with the last name McMahon unhappy.
Yeah, well, it should be seen that they also made him unhappy the last show of the night at the main event of Survivor Series, which we'll get to in a couple seconds. Now, let's get to the opening bout of the Survivor Series, The Shield, reuniting The Shield, going over the New Day, 21 minutes, actually. And I like the ending there, the Shield maneuver off the second rope. Poor Kofi Kingston, but what did you think of that opening bout?
Yeah, I thought it was really well done. I think that for a six man tag, it certainly gets there's a lot of nuances that can be thrown into a six man tag. I thought it was great watching the melees that came through when all six guys were in the ring battling with one another. I thought that there was the action was good, and I agree. I like the triple powerbomb and doing the triple powerbomb off the second rope for Kofi. That can't be a fun maneuver to take when you've got three guys basically powerbombing you from the second rope down onto the mat. But good on him and good on the Shield. I think both you and I and Rory, maybe that was Rory that took the triple powerbomb in Kofi's place.
Well, if he doesn't show up anymore, I'm going to give him a triple powerbomb. Anyways, now, since it's Black Friday this week, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to buy you a special gift as a Thanksgiving present for doing these shows. I'm going to buy you Alicia Fox's hat, okay? Stephanie.
Does it come with Kyrie Sane?
That was crazy, but Stephanie's giving the Raw ladies a pep talk there, and Alicia, I can't even describe it, but Raw ladies up against SmackDown ladies, and like we said, any team with Asuka on it is not going to lose. I was surprised how they made it was intriguing to have Tamina up against her cousin Nia Jax, how they made her lose. She lost by count out. What did you think of that match overall?
Yeah, the match overall, and it starts with the motivating speech by Stephanie McMahon, as you were mentioning, where Alicia Fox's hat fell off, and you saw some of the girls were like, and the funny one was it was Asuka that looked like she wanted to reach down and grab the hat and put it back on Fox's head. I think that, it started from there going through. I thought that the Tamina Nia Jax little segment was certainly interesting. I loved the headbutt hurting both, because WWE has always had for 40, 50 years the running gag that if you headbutt a Samoan, you hurt yourself and not them. Well, when a Samoan headbutts a Samoan, obviously it hurts both of them. I was really excited. I was laughing at that. You don't get to see Tamina. I think Tamina's ring presence, while not great, if you look at the other nine women in that match and go, okay, which one of these, is not like the others? It's definitely, unfortunately, Tamina, because all the other nine women in that match got much bigger and better receptions from the crowd than Tamina did. Though I thought Tamina did a fantastic job in the matchup, of course, tapping out to Asuka as the second to last competitor in the matchup. And of course, Asuka being the sole survivor on the Raw side. I called that one, our friend Rory Mitchell missed that one. And that was at the point where I was going, I could run the table here tonight. And we'll find out whether I did run the table here tonight or not coming up in a little bit.
How about Bayley was the first one to get eliminated, and then they showed a classic shot of Sasha looking sort of concerned, but it was like, ho-hum, I knew you were going to get eliminated anyway. So it's like, but she was the first one to get eliminated, so that I don't know what they're going to do with Bayley now, but let's get to Stephanie.
Before we go on to the next match, how about the way that Alicia Fox got eliminated? That almost looked like the referee didn't want to count that three, but he had to because Foxy couldn't get her shoulder up off the mat, and she ends up getting eliminated that way. That was probably the strangest elimination of the night, because that was one that you kind of went, are you sure that's the way that's supposed to go? It did not look like it was, I guess you could say, put together as well as the other matches or the other eliminations in that matchup and the other eliminations in the men's matchup.
And they did a good job building Asuka. I got to admit that they really did a good job of building Asuka in that match. Now backstage, Stephanie was gloating with Daniel Bryan. So, you know, 2-0 lead, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, let's get to the next match. This match, a lot of people were surprised because Baron Corbin got the victory over The Miz, but you picked it. And what the interesting thing, forget about the match, the interesting thing was Maryse sitting at ringside there getting kissing The Miz and all that. But should a pregnant lady be traveling, and should a pregnant lady be in the middle sitting first row ringside seats, feeling my feet, watching her husband? You know, I believe she's 4 to 5 months pregnant already.
Yeah, you know, for Maryse, you know, she's used to the travel. There's nothing that's going to that's harmful about her making the trip to Survivor Series for this matchup. I don't think that's that big of a deal. If in the I guess you could say it, as things go, I thought that it made a nice little wrinkle in the matchup because it gave Baron Corbin another person that was able to focus on him. I said in the preview show that Baron Corbin was going to win, and he was going to win because The Miz was going to make him look good. Well, not only did The Miz make him look good, but Maryse made him look good as well. And so I thought that it was great that they were able to incorporate Maryse without her having to get physically involved in the matchup, and it made Baron Corbin look strong. And really, The Miz did a fantastic job in his part in that matchup.
All right, and the reason why I'm going to get you a hat is because your hair is starting to look like Sheamus at the Survivor Series 3. What's up with this guy's hair? Like, oh my gosh. Anyways, next match, Sheamus Cesaro against the Usos. A very, very good match. The Usos winning. And what do you want to say about this match? Say something about your hair.
Well, my hair looks like Sheamus's hair, but you have to take the mohawk and turn it 90 degrees because it goes around the side of my head, not the top of my head. I got nothing on top. I look like Shawn Michaels if he were to shave his head, but going around the side, yeah, I could probably do the Sheamus mohawk just laying on its side. The matchup itself, you know, the Usos and Sheamus and Cesaro are always going to put on a good tag team match. You know, the Usos have been doing it forever. I thought that the final spot segment with the tag over the with Jimmy making the tag while diving over the top rope onto Cesaro out on the floor, and then with Jay doing the splash off the top rope to Sheamus to finish off the matchup. I thought that was a really cool way to finish off. I was wondering how they were going to get the finish, and that was definitely a new one. I hadn't seen the Usos do the dive over the top with the tag leading into the other brother coming off the top rope. Definitely an interesting way to finish up.
All right. Now, arguably this was a fantastic ladies' bout, but not like the ladies' NXT bout. Charlotte up against Alexa Bliss, Charlotte getting the victory, 15 minutes, and they gave a lot of offense to Alexa Bliss, and you could see, what is Charlotte, 6 feet? Alexa Bliss is 5 feet. You could see how, you know, how tall and everything like that, but, you know, what do you have to say about this match? Because everybody knew, I think, Charlotte was going to go over, but Alexa Bliss got a lot of offense.
Well, I think they have to keep Alexa Bliss looking tough as the Raw Women's Champion. She's going to have plenty of competition moving forward on the Raw side. You know, you look at the five women starting with Asuka that are going to be going after her. You could see all five of those women that were on the women's elimination Survivor Series match, the 5-on-5, being a part, and whoever is going to be the next opponent for Alexa Bliss, and you want to keep her being able to look strong. You know, Alexa Bliss is a top, you know, she may only be 5 feet tall, but she is a, you know, she's not a, she's athletic, she's tough, and I thought it was great seeing a lot of the high impact and the high risk maneuvers from both sides. You saw Alexa Bliss get caught with the knees when she did the twisted twist. Charlotte missing on the moonsault. There was a lot of high risk in that matchup, and a lot of it going wrong on both sides, which is kind of interesting. But it was kind of expected that Charlotte was going to get the win in this, and I was 5 for 5 at this point.
Okay, well, the next match, while AJ Styles was being interviewed, then Jinder Mahal came and interrupted an interview saying he hopes, AJ wins or SmackDown wins, but he hopes also that Brock Lesnar beats the snot out of AJ. And I can't believe, 15 minutes, 28 seconds, Brock Lesnar beating AJ Styles, but 16 minutes. Can you believe they gave AJ Styles and Brock Lesnar 16 minutes?
I believe that, you know, I wasn't surprised that they were going to give Brock Lesnar and AJ Styles 15 minutes or 16 minutes. My thing was that, you know, how were they going to, you know, was Brock Lesnar going to be able to sustain the offensive output for 16 minutes? You know, I think, you know, whenever I think of Brock Lesnar, I unfortunately think of the Goldberg matches, not just with Brock, but Goldberg's matches in WCW. I remember watching the Legends of Wrestling roundtables, which you can watch on WWE Network, and listening to Kevin Nash going, you know, he's going to be in the main event, and they need him to go 20 on the pay-per-view, and it was hard getting 12 out of him at a house show. And so, you know, you were wondering what was going to happen. You know, all credit, not just to AJ Styles, who I think that they made look really, really good. He got a ton of offense in. He was able to get the 450 splash, phenomenal forearm, the calf crusher, all on. And, you know, credit to Brock Lesnar. He made AJ Styles look like he could shock the world. Now, he wasn't going to, and, of course, he goes for another phenomenal forearm, and Brock Lesnar catches him and F5s him for the victory. And at that point, I'm 6 for 6, and I believe I hit you up and said, hey,
yeah,
somebody is 6 for 6 so far, and I was looking to go perfect on the night.
And you know, what did I tell you after? From now on, you're joining the On the Mat Wrestling Show. That's it. There's no substitute for perfection.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, I believe your exact quote is, "Hey, guess who?
Yeah,
doing the
On the
Mat Wrestling Show."
That's right. Now, backstage, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn were interviewed, saying they should be in the main event. They shouldn't be on a pre-show match. Who interrupts them was Stephanie. So they planted a seed. You already knew that they're going to come out during the main event. Now, the main event, Team Raw, Team SmackDown, they had separate entrances for each one of them. The match lasted 35 minutes. I'm not going to get through all of it, but it was nice to see, you know, John Cena up against Kurt Angle. It was nice to see Triple H against Shinsuke, you know, Finn Balor. But here's the whole thing. John Cena getting eliminated, but getting eliminated by the coup de grace from Finn Balor. That's interesting. Also, let's get to the end there. Triple H double-crossing Kurt Angle and letting Shane get the pin on Kurt Angle, and then crossing Shane because he thought that, okay, Triple H had mercy for his brother-in-law, and then he's going to tag team up with Shane against, you know, Braun Strowman. But then he turns on Shane, and Braun Strowman was not happy. So the sole survivors were Triple H and Braun Strowman. But then Triple H sort of betrays Braun Strowman because he was played with, and Braun Strowman did a number on Triple H. My question, long-winded, my question is, where's Triple H going? Is he going to feud with Kurt Angle? Where's Braun Strowman going to be? Because they made him, he's a monster among men, but they made him a monster. They really, really made him a monster. And this guy, he's come back from the garbage. He's come back from the ambulance. He was put through a table today. This guy's back. Nothing could kill this guy. What's next for Braun Strowman?
Yeah, they certainly have made him about as tough as a monster as you've seen in WWE since maybe the time of, and I think you got to go back long before the Big Show. I think that he's definitely gone beyond the Big Show and has started looking towards, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, and I think you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
He's starting to get into Andre territory. And I can't believe that I'm saying that somebody could be at that same level as Andre the Giant. But the way that they have, although you would never see Andre get double suplex through a table and have two dozen chairs fall on him and get thrown into a garbage truck. Andre would never do that. But that's only because Andre had been in the business for 25 years plus at that point and had enough pull with the McMahons to say, no, boss, I don't do that. But I really think that they are building him to be the next Andre the Giant. And he's got the look. He's got the athleticism. People don't remember that. When Andre was young, Andre would drop kick, which is amazing to think that a 7'5" guy could throw a drop kick, but he could. And I think that Strowman, while I don't think you're going to see Braun Strowman do a drop kick, the athleticism that he shows is just incredible. As for what's going to happen next, I think it does set up because you've had Triple H double-cross Kurt Angle, and that's going to lead probably to Monday to Stephanie McMahon saying, you couldn't get the job done, that it was my husband that ended up getting the pin on Shane McMahon. So that's going to put Kurt and Stephanie at odds, which means that Kurt Angle and Triple H are going to be at odds. As for Braun Strowman, he's just going to run roughshod over everybody. And anybody that gets in his way as he looks to destroy the powers that be, at some point is going to be in his sights, whether it's Kurt Angle, whether it's whether it's the Shield. It doesn't matter who it is. He's going to go up against everybody because he is a monster. He's not a face. He's not a baby face. Not a heel. He's a monster, and monsters fight everybody.
All right. So I asked you last night, what would you rate from 1 to 10 NXT? I'm going to ask you the same thing. What would you rate the Survivor Series? By the way, next year's Survivor Series, as I broke, they announced the LA Times broke it, but, really, who broke it? Steve, you know who broke it, really. Next year, it's at the Staples Center. Give me your rating of the Survivor Series for 2018.
I was rather impressed with a lot of the matchups. I would say out of the... what is it now, 15, the 15 pay-per-views that WWE has had so far this year, I would say it's probably, I would probably put it in the top third. I don't know if I would put it in the top three, but I certainly think that it deserves to be in the top five. I would say out of 10, I think you're probably close to an 8. I wouldn't go all the way to an 8, maybe a 7.75 out of 8, out of 10. I wouldn't probably go all the way to an 8, but it was a very good card, and it's a reason why it's one of the big four.
All right. So you rated Survivor Series better than NXT. In my opinion, NXT was better than Survivor Series. Would you say – so you're saying
– I think that the thing with NXT, the NXT was good because it was short. It was only a two-hour event. They only had four matches on it. This was a four-hour event, and I know that you and I have had these conversations that these pay-per-view events, especially the four major events, are getting to be too long. And 4 hours is just they cut this one early. This one was done right around 10:45 tonight. They didn't go all the way to 11, and I think that's smart. I think it would behoove WWE to try and start paring back some of these events. And it wouldn't be bad if these events ended up going back to 3 hours. I think it actually would work out better. You don't have to have as many matches, and you don't have to have as many long talking segments in between
and
matches.
Forget about 4 hours, because like I told you before, the event, the first match, Elias against Matt Hardy, I looked at, was it 5:17?
Yes, two-hour pre-shows. Give me a break.
So it's like from 5 o'clock till about 11. That's 6 hours. I can only expect that this should only be for WrestleMania. Shouldn't be for Survivor Series, SummerSlam, whatever you want to call it. It should only be one time a year because it's WrestleMania, and you got millions of people watching WrestleMania because, you're a casual wrestling fan. Oh, it's WrestleMania 34, 35, 88. You know, boom. We got 6 hours, boom. It shouldn't be every, quarter, because the big four is every quarter. 5-6 hours of wrestling. It's way, way too much. Consider it's 6 hours for Survivor Series, plus another 2 hours, 15 minutes for NXT, plus another 3 hours for Raw, plus another 2 hours for SmackDowns, because you got Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. That's like, what is it, like 15 hours of wrestling. And, we both love wrestling, but that's way, way too much. I'd rather watch the Buffalo Bills lose and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers lose, right?
Well, except the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won, and the Buffalo Bills.
Let's not talk about that.
Quarterback threw 5 interceptions for the first.
Yeah, he completed 5 passes, but he threw 5 interceptions also. So technically, he completed 10 out of 15 passes. So good luck to Buffalo Bills.
You and I have had the conversation not about Nate Peterman throwing 5 interceptions in one half or way to make your professional debut. But you and I have had the conversation about, are these WWE events getting too long? And I remember WrestleMania, and I talked to Gerald Briscoe about WrestleMania. He asked me what I thought of the card. And I said, the first thing I said to him, it's too damn long. That was a 7-hour event that WWE put on. It was just overload. I mean, I understand that you want to have a giant pre-show and you want to have a lead-up, but you could have you could do that lead-up and kind of give more of the credence to the matches that are going to be on the card, and you don't have to have it be like a 4-hour pre-show followed by a 5-hour event. I mean, but like I said, I told Bristol, I'm like, it's too damn long.
It is. And like, tonight was also long. Like I said, the 5:17, and then finished at 10:47. So that's 5.5 hours. Why? Like I said, WrestleMania, fine. But this is Survivor Series. I know it's the big four, but too long. Too long. And and then forget about this 5 hours. You got another 3 hours to watch on Raw
What do you think, final question, what do you think is going to happen on Raw? They're going to be quoting that they won. Let's go through Raw and SmackDown this week. What do you think is going to happen on Raw? What do you think is going to happen on SmackDown? Because SmackDown, they already said, Jinder Mahal, AJ Styles for the belt. You think Jinder Mahal gets it back?
You know, I think it's a possibility. You know, I think that especially after the beating that AJ Styles took in the hands of Brock Lesnar, this is exactly what Mahal wants. I wouldn't be surprised, though. You know, unfortunately for Mahal, it's going to make him look even more weak as a champion, because now he's basically picking the carcass of AJ Styles after Brock Lesnar had his fill of him at Survivor Series. You know, so I think he ends up regaining the title and becomes a two-time WWE champion. I can't believe I'm saying that. If you had told me 12 months ago that Jinder Mahal was going to be a two-time WWE champion, I'd have told you that Heath Slater needs to go have more kids. So that's the SmackDown. I would not be surprised if the Authors of Pain make their debut on the main roster either Monday or Tuesday. I would probably think that Monday makes a little more sense, because I think they really want to get Cesaro some time off to fix his problems, like the two front teeth issue, and maybe get some rest on that one. And Sheamus, I'm sure, has another movie to film for next Christmas. So you'll give him some time to get some time off and get his next movie film. So you bring in the Authors of Pain to be that next big monster that kind of makes sense. And then of course, Braun Strowman. that's going to be the name of Raw probably all the way up through the Royal Rumble, and I'd love to see how they start making that run.
Well, who's going to throw him out anyways? But you know, the next WWE pay-per-view is called Clash of Champions, December 17th in Boston, John Cena's hometown, Sasha Banks' hometown. Let's see if they go feature them prominently. That's Steve Carney, WDE Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida. Steve, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Steve Carney, SteveCarney. It's very original. And you can also hear me weekdays from 3 to 6 on 620 WDAU with my friend Steve Dimmick. And if you're not in the Tampa Bay region, of course, you can always listen on the iHeartRadio app. It's there live and on demand.
All right. And again, on behalf of myself and everybody working at Barnburner, I'd like to wish you and your family a happy Thanksgiving. And that Black Friday hat is going to come through. I'm going to speak to the foxy one, Alicia Fox, and I'm going to ask her to put some more feathers on the hat for you, okay?
As long as she doesn't douse it in Diet Coke, I'm good. Gobble, gobble, my friend.
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve Carney.
Thanks, Joe.